Welcome to Tech Talk from RNIB Connect Radio, the RNIB's technology show for blind and partially sighted people. See technology differently.
Hello and welcome to another Tech Talk. I'm Stephen Scott, and this week we are talking tech from Amazon because they've just launched a slew of new products, and I am excited to get into the studio this week and talk about them with my friends and colleagues. I've got Robin Christofferson here, Head of Digital Inclusion at AbilityNet. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Stephen. I've just got one thing to say. Glasses.
Glasses. Oh, glasses. You were obsessed with them last week. But did you get really what you wanted? Well, we're going to find out. If I'm honest, I'm not
Glass
so
half
sure.
full.
That's one way to look at it. David Woodbridge is with us from a secret location, David. What's going on?
Well, if I told you, I'd have to do something to you. So, but my one word is ring.
Now, what do you mean by that? That's my question, because there were many products relating to Ring. We're going to talk about that. Now, look, I know a lot of people tune into this show for the news, so we're going to try and spell this out as much as possible. We only have an hour, though, and I'll be honest, when we were planning this show, we were thinking, because of course we're planning this on the basis of lots of announcements, right? It was like the Apple event one we did, and we were kind of thinking, you know, there's going to be that much to talk about. Well, we managed to fill an hour easily with Apple. Well, after 15 product announcements, I think we're going to be okay this hour. So for the Apple fanboys, or the people who criticise us for being Apple fanboys, you're going to love this show, because we're going to be talking about Amazon all the way through. They did launch a whole wide range of new products. Ring is definitely a name that came up a couple of times in more ways than one. And glasses as well. David, just so you know, Robin's taken copious notes. And apparently, if we don't follow those notes to the letter, then he's stuffed.
In that order.
So basically, Robin's leading the show this week. So, Robin, over to you. What are we talking about first?
So, yeah, let's talk about Echo Buds. Echo Buds, okay. Guys, like the AirPods. But, very similar to the AirPods, a little bit cheaper. Mm-hmm. And they have your Bose noise, not cancellation, but active reduction, whatever that means, where it can sense what's going on around. I mean, I don't know the difference, to be honest, because it is something, it's not just cramming them in your ear makes the world go quieter. There is a button on the side which can turn the noise reduction on and off, but Bose were involved there, and the sound from the hands-on area or the in-ear area, the feedback is really good, that the sound quality is very comparable to AirPods, for example. So yeah, I was excited about that. What about you guys?
David, I'm keen to know your thoughts on this. We are big fans, as well, the three of us are big Apple fans, so we all have AirPods. I do love my AirPods, but I must admit, David, you being from Vision Australia, and obviously part of the job you do is about learning about all this technology, so I've no doubt there's probably one or two that sneaked its way into your basket of these new Echo Buds when they finally get launched. I think it's going to be next month. Mm-hmm. There's different dates depending on where you live for when these will be coming out. Are you going to get them, and are you excited by it?
Yes, I've already got quite a few items in my basket.
Oh, really?
Already.
That's not a surprise.
I've got one turning up on Monday. So, yeah, we'll see that. But no, I'm definitely going to be getting them, and I'm going to be interested to see how they go, because I'm just wondering how they're going to work, because if they just act as a Bluetooth earphone, it's going to be a bit disappointing. So I'm just wondering somehow whether you've got to run the Amazon Alexa app on your phone, or whether, you know, the Amazon Alexa or Amazon Echo, what do you want to freaking call it?
I'm sorry, you just set off the alarm. You just set off, you triggered it. I told you there'd be an alarm today if we mentioned that name.
As a UK person quite often says the A-lady.
Yep. Let's just put our hands up and say we're going to fail many times not to say her name.
That's it.
Health warning.
The A-Lady would have to be built into the Echo Buds, I reckon. It can't be running off the Android or the iPhone all the time. So I'm going to be really interested to see how it works.
Well, how will that work? Because you have to have the Lady A app running in order to use the wake word at the moment. So you'd have to have the app on. If you turn the app off or you close the app, then it won't be listening to you. So how will that work with the Echo Buds? Maybe that bypasses? I mean, it does. Apparently that is how it works. It works by hearing the wake word.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure if it's listening all the time or whether you have to tap something. That wasn't clear in the demo. I was fortunate enough to listen to some audio clips from the presentations that, was it The Verge? Can't remember which site it was that kindly dropped in against each product. But they said that you can call the A-Lady and Google Assistant and Siri as well through the Echo Buds. And yeah, so you don't have to have anything running on your app, and it's Android only, I think it said at the moment. Well, hang on, that can't be right with Siri.
No.
Yeah, I may have got that wrong, guys. But yeah, certainly, they did mention Siri, yeah.
It's cross-platform, yeah.
It's a pass-through. It's a bit like you can use Bluetooth headsets at the moment to invoke the assistant. So yeah, there's a bit more integration there. But yeah, I think you can just call her up whenever you want to.
Do you know something?
5 hours of...
I haven't tried this, but could you actually use AirPods, open up the Lady A app, use the wake word, and just talk to it?
I don't see why not, because it's a microphone at the end of the day. I think it defaults to the AirPods microphone for anything that the phone needs the mic for when you've got them in. So, yeah.
I think we should try that. That sounds like an interesting idea, because then I could save myself £120 or £130. I think it's £130 for those. But yeah, the Echo Buds, that does sound rather interesting. The sound, as you say, with Bose integration as well, that active reduction, working with Bose on that. And I will say that, you know, I've got the Bose QC35 Mark II headphones. Never forget that bit. And they are very good. They are really good. And one thing I love about these noise cancellation devices, I don't know if you've noticed this, but if someone's having a conversation behind you on a plane, I was on a plane a couple of months back and I was trying them out. And I'm sitting there, I turn on the noise cancellation, and of course the noise of the plane just disappears. And all that's left behind is what I can hear of an argument that is going on between, man and wife, husband and wife behind me. And I found that rather enjoyable. I found that more entertaining than the movie I watched. So, dual purpose. That's good. So Echo Buds will be coming out soon. That was certainly one to note. David, what was your big takeaway from the event? I mean, there was 15 products launched and a host of services, software and privacy and all these things we can talk about, but what was the big hardware thing for you?
Look, I think for me is the fact that Amazon's not frightened to throw the mud against the wall and see what sticks, so they're quite willing to try out different hardware solutions. So, I mean, I liked a few of their hardware type announcements. I was intrigued by, I know one thing that apparently Robin's in love with, which is, he's already mentioned, the magic word frames.
Yep.
And I was interested in a few other ones because it sounded very unique. Mind you, I was also quite a few other products. I thought, really? Would anybody actually use that product in real life? So, but we'll see. But what I really do enjoy, like I said about Amazon, is that they're not afraid to actually try something and then see what happens and whether it's going to be a great seller or not. But they are definitely moving away from this traditional thing about, you know, you can only use the A-Lady in the home. They're trying to make it more ubiquitous and actually use it out in the real world when you're out and about or at work or on public transport, etc.
Yeah, they mentioned cars, and obviously that's a big deal for a lot of people, being able to use A-Lady in the car and do over-the-air Lady A, I guess, all that kind of stuff. So that was good. But now I've got to pin you on this, David. What's the one thing? I know, obviously, you're going to buy a lot of products, as am probably I. What's the one thing for you? I want to get one thing that you really, really got excited about.
I'm excited about the Echo Loop.
Okay.
Which is the Ring. So I want the Ring so I can say, you know, one ring to rule them all, you know, Lord of the Rings, Bilbo Baggins. So that will go with my wearable keyboard, my Tap wearable keyboard, my Apple Watch, my Samsung Galaxy Watch, my Fitbit, my AirPods, my Bose frames, and my Revo keyboard that I wear around my neck on a lanyard. So there you go. I'm going to be fully equipped. I'll just have one more thing to add to my hand.
When you go to bed at night and you take off all your
divest
technology,
yourself of all your technology,
do you lose a stone in weight?
Yeah, child next to the bed.
I do need an extra 15, 20 minutes just to put it all on in the mornings. That's really ridiculous. I feel like I'm putting on makeup.
So this ring sounds really interesting. It's titanium. Comes in, I think, was it 4 or 5 different sizes? So hopefully there'll be one that will fit all finger sizes.
Okay, but yeah, but explain this to me. I don't understand how this works. What is this for? It's a ring that you wear, like a ring. It's quite a big ring as well. But
a little bit
what
chunky.
Am I doing with it? What's the purpose of it?
It's a lady on your finger, basically. So there's a button that you press. It's slightly recessed, so you can't press it by accident. It does a little haptic buzz on your finger. You can talk to it to issue commands. And there's a tiny little speaker that you have to put up to your ear. I don't know how weird that will look when you're putting your ring up to your ear to hear what it's saying back to you. It's not for playing music or anything like that. A bit like the Flex that we'll talk about later on. But it's, yeah, very discreet, decent looking, apparently, but $130, guys. That's a lot of ring.
Oh, it's only a million.
That'll translate at 4,000 Australian.
Yeah, exactly. It's millions again. That's right. I still don't really get it. I mean, what is the, so are we thinking here that you forget the talking watch, now you get the talking ring to tell you the time? Is that the purpose of it? I just don't know why I would use this practically.
Well, it's also to notify you when you actually get a notification from your smartphone. So it'll actually vibrate on your finger. So if you've got your phone in your bag and you get a tweet or something else that makes your notifications go off on your phone, then you'll get a little buzz on your finger. So you can reach for your bag and see what notification you want to ignore this time.
The irony there is that if by the time you've raised it up to listen to it, you've your watch has already woken up and it's telling you the same information.
Well, this is the problem. I mean, I obviously got the, you know, I think we all do, but we've got a number of Apple products in the house. And actually what's quite funny is recently I connected my Echo devices to Skype. So whenever someone would Skype me, about, I think, 8 devices at once would just start ringing.
Yeah, that's horrible. Yep.
I had to take that feature off in the end because it was driving me insane. Everything was ringing all the time. So, yeah, I can't imagine my finger buzzing and my wrist buzzing and everything beeping. But I mean, I'll say one thing about it. I think we're in a kind of strange place with all this tech. I don't know about you, but I've got a work phone that I have for RNIB, and I've got my own phone. And one thing I love about having both phones is that I have things separate. But when I'm at work, I've got my Apple Watch on, which is connected to my own phone. And I've always thought it'd be kind of nice to be able to have something additional that I could then get notifications from my other phone. But I don't want to wear two watches. Maybe that's where the ring could be useful. You know, it could be like a secondary thing.
I mean, that's something that Android does really well, to segregate different kind of a work and phone, a work and home account, where you've got two sides that you can switch between, which I think would be the answer if for iOS.
Okay, we've got to mention the frames. So we've been talking about this for a number of weeks. We've all been looking forward to some company somewhere bringing out a pair of glasses, or eyeglasses, as they call them in the States, in case you're wondering where you're supposed to put them. So, the eyeglasses, or the glasses, came out from Amazon, and I was thinking, great, we're going to get a camera, we're going to get great sound, and all we got was decent sound and glasses, Robin. So, you know, you were all excited. Are you still excited?
I am excited. Yeah, I mean, not a camera.
No camera.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, so half full. So the Echo frames, $180, invite only. And these are one of the day one products that they have. And day one means that they're kind of beta. You buy them at your own. You know, they're kind of a 1.0 product. But invite only. So they're going to be limited in numbers. I hope that they'll open that out. They're like the Bose frames, but without the spatial awareness. So they haven't got a compass or gyroscope in them. So, you know, you're not going to have that kind of 3D effect as you turn your head, as you get with some limited things within the Bose AR app. But still, you know, it's something that gives you good audio, beamed into your lugholes as you're walking along. You can tap the side to ask her something. If she comes up with an alert saying you've got a message, then you can swipe on the arms on the side to get more information. So it's not just a kind of a standard blue, you know, like a Bluetooth headset in a different shape. There's some smarts there with the little touch thing. And by all accounts, they look nice. They look like normal glasses. They don't look like anything chunky or geeky. And at $180, which will probably be that in pounds if it ever comes over here, you know, that's an expensive kind of accessory. But still, with the A-Lady built in, I think there's some, it's got legs. Well, it's got arms.
Oh, dear.
Oh, someone had to do it.
I got my glasses.
I don't know about these, David. I mean, I think it misses a trick with the lack of camera, although I do think that the problem that exists for the camera in glasses at the moment is that it doesn't really have a natural end point. You know, if you think about the integration with Bose, so, you know, Amazon and Bose working together to create the Echo Buds, that makes sense. They're trying to create something and they're trying to add features that make the experience better. I get all that. The problem is that the first question that would be asked is, why would you want a camera on your glasses? Now, we know, we immediately have answers to that. We're like, be my eyes, Ira, you know, seeing AI, all these wonderful things would suddenly come to life in a new way for us. I'd love a camera on my glasses. Do we think that the world out there, the mainstream sighties out there, are they ready for this?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I can imagine somebody who aside maybe wanting a camera in their glasses because you could identify and get maybe nutritional information about a particular product like I can in the US now with the Amazon Echo Show on the camera where you can hold up a product in front of the camera now.
But show and tell, it's called. Fantastic.
Yeah, but we will talk a bit more about that later.
But
yeah,
the other thing I'm a bit skeptical about is I find the audio that comes out of my Bose frames extremely disappointing when I'm in a noisy environment, like I'm on a street or I'm on a train or a plane, because whilst it's fine when you're in a quiet environment and you can hear the sound, you know, going into your ears, I'm just wondering if the Echo frames are going to suffer from the same problem, is that if it's a noisy environment, not only you've got to cope with trying to listen to the audio coming from the thing slightly in front of your ear, but you've also got to cope with the environmental sound. So I think either earbuds or inner earbuds are a lot better than these audio things that supposedly throw the sound into your ear.
I can confirm from what I read that in the hands-on area, it was really hard to hear because it was a noisy environment. So, yeah, I can confirm that that is the case. And that's just, you know, the nature of the beast when it comes to that little tiny thing that's trying to drive a cone of sound into your ear. It's not as great as having something stuffed into your ear.
Although, really, I mean, I'm getting to the stage in my household where if I've got, like, eight A-Ladies, seven, Google things, seven home potty Siri things in my house, and I get tongue-tied who I'm talking to half the time now.
I'm amazed you know what you're doing at the time with all these devices. And you've got a family as well. What's wrong with you, man?
Exactly. I forget my wife's name sometimes.
And six things on your body.
So when you call your wife the A-Lady, you're in trouble.
That's right.
That's how you find out how comfortable the sofa is.
Exactly.
But no, it's interesting, isn't it? With all this technology that's coming out, we're seeing so many new advances. And Amazon, you know, like you say, David, they're kind of throwing stuff at the wall, seeing what sticks. I think the glasses thing is interesting, but I'm actually more excited about a project. And I'm not quite sure what it is yet, but I was reading about it a while back called OptiShocks. For those who know about Aftershocks, the bone conduction headphones, OptiShocks is apparently the next extension of that, which is glasses with the Aftershocks a bone conduction built in. And I think that is a smarter way to go. I'd put my money towards that, I think, before I put it towards Bose or these Amazon frames.
They did at the event call out Vuzix, which we've talked about before, the Vuzix Blade smart glasses, which I tried on at Mobile World Congress this year. And they do have a camera and AR and object recognition and all that sort of thing and A-Lady functionality. So this is the second set of glasses that have the A-Lady built in. But those are $999. So yeah,
is that the problem, do you think? Is that why Amazon didn't maybe go down that route? Because they knew that the overall cost was going to be very high in the first instance, and that would put people off. Because let's be honest about it, the Apple event, you know, everything's going to cost about a grand. With Amazon, you're expecting it to be, you know, more budget friendly.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, the heads-up display is the thing in the Vuzix that probably cost the most. So they could dispense with that. They could go halfway with the camera. But they were actually, when they were announcing these Echo frames, they were quite keen to stress that there isn't a camera because of a privacy angle and disquiet in people having something on their face looking everywhere. So that's something that's going to have to be overcome if people are going to be generally walking around with cameras on their faces all the time.
Okay, David, you know, obviously it's a very interesting world of technology. What else stood out for you? I mean, there's so much to talk about. I mean, the Echo Glow, which I must admit I was quite keen on, the funky little light that you can tap on and it changes colour.
Yeah.
It did. I mean, you know, it's one of those things, I must admit, strobe lights for me don't really appeal for various reasons. But, you know, I mean, you know, technology like that, that kind of very simple technology that is going to make make things fun. I mean, apparently kids are going to love it. I think most adults will probably love it as well, especially campfire mode, which sounds quite nice for the garden. We haven't even touched on speakers yet. I mean, there was a new Echo Dot with clock as well, which seems a bit weird.
Mine's on order.
I believe you've. I was going to say you've just ordered one. Why? Tell us first of all what it is for those that don't know.
Okay, so it's basically an Echo Dot third generation with a little display in it for. And I believe I'm right, Robin, is with displaying time and the weather, apparently. So if you want to know what the time is, rather than having to ask the A-Lady what the time is or what the weather is, it'll actually display it on this little display on the Echo Dot. So half the time my family is always asking what the time is, and I keep beginning to put batteries in our normal clock. So I thought this way, because we've always got an Echo in the kitchen, if I've got a little display there, I can just wave in the general direction of the Echo and go, check it out. You can see the time and the weather yourself this time.
Yeah, if you ask her for the weather, then that time switches to the temperature.
Basically. Oh, okay.
Oh, yep. Right. Okay, I didn't know that. Hmm. I thought it was just a clock on there. And it has got the snooze button.
Oh, is
it? A physical button.
Don't know. Right, so it's like an alarm clock as well. Okay,
yeah, apparently, yeah. Apparently it's got a physical. I don't know what shape it takes or what. If it's just one of the other buttons, maybe one's been replaced. Because you've got four buttons on the top of these Echo Dots, four physical buttons. But apparently it does have a snooze button, which gives you 9 minutes of snoozing. So that sounds quite good. So obviously it's built for the bedroom, right? That makes, and it makes perfect sense. I kind of like it. Again, I think for blind people, Robin and I are probably sitting thinking, I'm amazed at you, David, if I'm honest, but I know you'll buy everything. But
he says,
I don't think you're going to use this. I don't think anyone cares.
$60 a snip.
$60, yeah, you know, trades.
I'll just add it on. Well, hang on for Prime Day because, you know, it's going to be halved in price, yeah. You know, and then
well,
I'll maybe think.
Well, mind you, the one thing that I was going to buy, and I thought, no, Robin will get grumpy if I do that, was the wall clock, which basically it's the Echo wall clock, which syncs up to your Echo device, and when you run a timer, it displays the timer on this nice big wall clock, and then from 60 seconds down to zero, it will then count down by the seconds so that you know visually how much time you've got left on your timer. And I just thought, I can't imagine something more ridiculous in my life than having a visual display just for a timing function. It's like, gee whiz, guys, really?
How much vision do you have, David?
Let's see, taking into account all parameters and taking into account mathematical equations, zero.
Okay, so basically completely pointless.
Yeah, that's
now,
the one.
That wall clock, I didn't catch the price of that one, but I mean the shows do that as well.
It's and 30 or 40 quid, it's not a huge amount of money,
right.
But it's still pointless.
But yeah, it's like, worth mentioning that the Echo Show 8, which came out as well, 8-inch screen, so they got the 5, 8 and 10.
Yeah.
And so the 8 is the new one at $130, which is the same price as the ring. The ring is called Echo Loop, by the way, the one you wear on your finger.
Yeah.
And as opposed to the doorbell, which we'll hopefully cover. But these are snips, these shows, and they do have loads that they use the screen a lot. So people who aren't aware, and if you have some vision, low vision, it's also got a screen reader on there that David has very ably demoed in the past. So all of those things, timers, news, YouTube videos, the screen is really well utilised. So, yeah, the new one in that family was the Echo Show 8 today.
And look, let's maybe just stick on that for a minute because you mentioned this earlier, David, and it's important we talk about this. The show and tell feature was kind of dropped just before the event happened. And it's essentially a feature for blind and partially sighted people who want to identify the, you know, the cat food or the custard in the tin, because, you know, obviously one or other would be preferred for dinner. And, you know, for those of us out there who've done this, who've had, you know, a can of dog food for dinner as opposed to what they were hoping it would be, you know, this kind of thing could make a difference. And especially if you live alone or you live with someone who also has sight loss, this could be amazing. So what you do is, and this is only in the US at the moment, I have to stress this, it's only available in the States. I believe it will be rolling out fairly swiftly. Again, I think it's all to do with the libraries, isn't it, of all the sort of database of content and, you know, what cornflakes looks like in the UK versus Australia. I don't imagine there's a huge difference, if I'm honest. But anyway, the point is that you hold up whatever it is, be it the cornflakes or the tin of beans, and you point it at the camera or you point it to the Echo Show and you ask the A-lady, what am I holding? And it will actually also, even if you aren't showing it properly to the device, it will guide you to maybe say, turn the tin round, turn it round, and then it will give you feedback and then say what it is. Tin of beans. And I think it might even give you some additional information. I kind of hope eventually it does, because it's one thing saying, yes, it's a tin of beans, or yes, this is a microwave meal, but could you tell me how to cook it as well? If you just added that little bit of extra information, that would be even more useful. And I think it might, but it depends, of course, on what is on the barcode, I guess. But that is essentially a brilliant feature that has just launched in the States, hopefully, as I say, rolling out. And that is the only reason I can imagine why a totally blind person might be interested in an Echo Show. Quick thought on that. The 8 and the 10, great if you've got some partial sight, I think. I was thinking about Robin Spinks when that came out, who was on here with us talking about the Apple event, and, you know, he's got a reasonable amount, although you never, you know, he'll tell us, but he's got a bit of useful vision. So for that, I think he might find benefit. For me, I've got the Echo Show. I got the 5 because it was cheap at the time. and I think that's good, especially when you add VoiceView, the screen reader, into it. I don't think a blind person would need any more than a 5, but it's good there are options out there.
No, look, well, I agree. I mean, the other when you were talking about identifying cans and that sort of stuff, that's all well and good. But if you're a person like me who decides that when he's got an empty orange juice container and he puts the bubble pipe liquid in it that you use for blowing bubbles out of pipes into an orange juice container, and then you ask your device what the container is, and it says orange juice, then you take a big swig out of it, and you get a mouthful of bubble liquid. It's like it's an absolutely pleasurable thing. So my warning about these type of devices, make sure that you don't put anything else inside the containers that's mislabeled, otherwise you could be in trouble.
That's definitely one of those stories that's happened to you. There's no doubt in that you've been doing this way, way too often. You've been putting the orange juice in the milk carton again, haven't you?
That's the one.
Don't put weed killer in there. Yeah,
I know. Actually, you know, it's funny you say that. All the things that we do on top, don't we? And it's like, yeah, we've got to kind of remember all that as well.
Safety,
because
the
technology only takes you so far. Mm-hmm. But no, the technology is getting there with it. That is good. But let's go back to speakers for a minute, because we mentioned the Echo Dot with the clock built in. Ridiculous. And then we move on to the new Echo, or as I'm calling it, the Echo Fat, because it's a big Echo. It's a big fat Echo. It's essentially the Echo Plus. What they've done is they've taken the smart hub, which was in the Echo Plus, out of that, and they've given you the Echo speaker, which is a bit better. Not what I would have called ideal for Amazon Music HD. And a few people, especially at the event, were saying, well, you know, it doesn't seem as good as what we kind of hoped it would be. But then out came a new speaker, brand new. This I'm interested in your thoughts on, guys, the Echo Studio, mm-hmm. which, if you think the Echo itself is fat, well, this thing is ridiculous. I call it Stephen Scott size. it's big. It's apparently the size of a small watermelon. I wish I was the size of a small watermelon. But it's apparently got amazing sound in it. It's got three speakers, if I'm right in saying that. It's got all the mid-ranges and all the whatever else. It's got all the fancy
woofers
stuff inside.
Tweeters. And a great big 5-inch sub-bass woofer thingy. apparently it looks like the HomePod, it said in the hands-on area, so...
Yeah, yeah.
But it, that's only useful if you know what a HomePod looks like. A big squat thing.
Oh, dear.
Grapefruit. I think grapefruit.
That's the one.
I think about the HomePod, yeah.
So this is $200, and if the sound is, you know, Sonos quality, then that's brilliant. And we talked last week about the high-def streaming service that they have announced as well. So, yeah. I mean, this, nothing, I don't think, apart from really top-quality headphones could deliver, or a hi-fi type thing could deliver the quality of the, you know, this could deliver CD quality, I'm sure.
But I just worry about these type of speakers. That took, what's the one for this one, the Adobe Atmosphere type one, the 3D spatial audio. And it's like the HomePod. Like, it's supposed to, you know, fill your room with the sound. And I think it sometimes depends on the type of room you've got and the type of ceiling, the type of flooring and everything else. And I wouldn't say my HomePod fills my house with, you know, beautiful surround sound or whatever they call it. But, and I'm just, I'm
nervous. Can it with one speaker? However clever, it kind of sends out signals to gauge the acoustics of the room and then
behind
adjust
it, in front of it, and around it. Yeah, so I'm assuming this one does the same thing. So,
yeah, it does. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, to me, to get that type of sound, you'd have to turn it up a bit louder, I'm assuming. So, which is probably the one thing I'm not going to be able to get in, that one in my house, because it would drive my son, who's a bit noise sensitive, absolutely crazy. So that's one that's not on my shopping list, unfortunately.
I'm quite surprised to hear that, but I get it, because I agree with you. The HomePods, do you have a HomePod, Robin?
No, I've...
Shame.
I just have all of the all of the A ladies.
He's going to be safe from the Apple pyramid now.
Well, I've got no interest in, you know, crossing the streams. I wouldn't want to have more than one family of smart speaker. Just, I mean, I should be curious, but I don't know. Then things get complicated, don't they? Like you were saying earlier, everything responds and gets set off accidentally, which leads us on to something that we'll talk about later on, about accidentally getting the A lady replying to you. But I want to go completely the other way for a second. So we've just talked about the Echo Studio, which is the hi-fi top end of the range. They also announced the very bottom end, which is the Echo Flex, which is so minimal, it just plugs into a wall socket. I think there's an additional nightlight option if you want.
Yep.
But this is so lo-fi that I don't think, correct me if I'm wrong, it even delivers music. It's more about A-lady responses. Mm. So you can basically now have every single socket, forget every kind of surface covered in smart speakers, you can have every socket peppered with A-ladies as well to be able to respond to your requests. So yeah, the Echo Flex.
Yeah, this is actually quite interesting. The nightlight idea is good. Also, motion sensor as well is... I don't know if the motion sensor and the nightlight is the same thing. It's kind of modular, isn't it, David? So you've got the Flex, which is the plug that goes in, and then there's another additional bit that plugs into the bottom of that.
That's right. Yeah, they mentioned both the nightlight and the motion sensor. And plus, it also has apparently a little USB port on it. So if you also want to charge your smartphone at the same time, you can plug in your smartphone as well.
Do you know what I always think of when I was listening to the guy describe it? It was like, you know those plug-ins you get for air fresheners? It reminds me of that a little bit. You know, you've got the little bit that plugs in the bottom. It's kind of a similar idea, but you get the nightlight, you get the motion sensing. And I think about a lot of the smart stuff I've got at home. Smart bulbs, I use motion sensors from IKEA that do the smart bulbs. And when you walk in the house, the lights come on. And I love all that. But I kind of think it would be great if I could get a bit more control over that motion sensing, because at the moment it's basically just it comes on and then goes off again. So if, for example, I'm upstairs in the hall and the lights are on and I'm sitting in the hall, or Christmas wrapping is usually when I'm sitting in the hall, and you know the lights just go off because they're only sensed to come on for a minute or so. It'd be good just to leave them on, you know, have some control over that. So maybe that will give me more customization there.
So
that could be quite good.
The motion sensing that we're talking about there is so that you can trigger various other connected home activities. It doesn't have, for example, a built-in camera, which we can now go on to talk about Ring, although I think, David, did you want to just jump in there?
Yeah, I just wanted to, there was another little product that also came up, which I've actually ordered myself, and that's what's turning up on Monday, but it's called the Echo Output. And what it is, it's a little plug-in device. So it's an Echo, but it's got no speaker in it. So you plug in your 3.5mm speaker to it, and then that becomes a full-blown Echo. So it's just a way of turning any, quote, normal speaker into an A-Lady speaker. So I can't remember how much it was. I think it was like $70 or $80 Australian anyway, so it wasn't that much. But yeah, it's basically, so it's the Echo output. I don't know, Robin, if it's...
No, I don't like to... I never like to question the great David Woodbridge, but is it not called the Echo input?
Oh, sorry, the Echo input. Sorry, yeah. I don't know, is it?
In this case, I'm looking. I think it is the input. I think the idea is you're inputting. Okay.
A bear of very little brain, I couldn't get my head round how that differs from, say, a dot for half the price, which already has a jack on the back.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, that's true.
And something to be aware of, for some reason, don't know why, but you can't do drop-in on it.
No. I know. Yeah.
So that was one. I mean, I love drop-in, and one of the, you know, for those who don't know, it's a feature where you can sort of drop in from one echo to the other.
Get out of the shower!
Yeah, dinner's ready.
Have you got an echo in the shower then?
I mean, in our house, the house is it's one of those houses where, you know, you shout from the kitchen, you can't hear a thing at the other side of the house, and this has made such a difference. Because, and what I love is if you say drop in on, say, bedroom or whatever, and you say dinner's ready, she adds a little ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. And I love that.
And if you say happy birthday, it's a different one again.
I love all that stuff.
So we're probably going to get lots of emails about today's our show today with different comments from people. You know, maybe the input has a much better DAC, digital to audio analog converter, than the Echo Dot has, for example. So maybe it's driving much better quality hi-fi. So yeah, people can fill us in on everything that we're not getting completely right today.
I don't know if it does, if I'm honest. And nice. I also don't think it works with the everywhere groups. If you have, so, you know, in my house, I've got it set up. I think we've all done this at some point where you can add a number of devices together into sort of like a group of speakers. And for whatever reason, again, the Echo input doesn't get involved in that, which is a bit annoying, you know. So that's one reason why I kind of avoided it. I'm not putting a downer on your purchase, David. Sorry, but... you know, there's things it doesn't do.
No,
the same issue with Sonos One.
I just might do a bit of a podcast for that red bag. What's that podcast called? Dot to Dot or something?
I might do
a demo for that one and see if the guy will actually take it on and go, look, you probably don't want to know about this Echo input thing, but here's a short demo for it anyway, just in case anybody's interested.
I'll expect a demo on every device that you have. Thank you. So motion sensors, we've just talked about the Flex. Ring, which is the front doorbells, which Amazon bought a while ago and have
video
been updating.
Doorbells.
Yeah, video doorbells, that's right, yeah. And they have motion sensors in some of them as well. This one, they announced yesterday two additional ones, a stick-up cam, which is a kind of an outside motion sensing camera on the go, so you can stick it anywhere and it's self-contained, battery, etc. Although I think that you can wire it up if you want to. And there's an indoor one called, was it Indoor?
Which, that's right.
Again, you can stick anywhere and it has the same motion sensing, but this time, obviously, it can fire up the camera and you can have conversations with the burglars and you can record them and that sort of thing.
Don't
steal
that!
Yeah. I'm not sure about prices on those.
I think the indoor cam, I think from memory, was $59.99. That's dollars, obviously, but that usually translates to the same in pounds and, you know, I don't know, a million Australian dollars or whatever it comes out at over there. But it is interesting because the indoor cam, I don't know what you guys think of this. I just think this is a ridiculous thing. The only purpose I can get for this, I know some people use it to keep an eye on their pets, so I can sort of get that. But really, unless you want to know who's been emptying the biscuit tin, what on earth is the point of, you know, these indoor cameras? Why would you want so much surveillance in your own house?
So, yeah, I just need to correct. It's power only, so you have to plug those in. And yes, $59. And the $100 for the outdoor one. A related announcement they made is that the A-Lady, before now she has been listening for broken glass and smoke alarm noises when you want to leave the house. You can turn that mode on. She'll now also listen for surreptitious human sounds as well that are differentiated from cats padding around and dog. So yeah, so that's all tied in with the burglar angle as well.
I think it'll send you a text and say, oh, by the way, the pipes have burst and your house is currently flooding. I wonder if it's doing that, because it'll hear water running, so it would know, for example, if there's a flood. And I'm just kind of wondering, does it then send Amazon recommendations to you, like, hey, you might want to buy a raincoat, or, you know, kayaks are on sale. You know, what kind of options are out there with this? How far does this go?
Well, yet another announcement that they had yesterday was Echo Hunches, which I think are already a thing, but they've been augmented. So these Echo Hunches will now alert you when they think you've run out of something that you've ordered on a sort of regular frequency in the past, you know, time to order new toilet paper or something. So she's going to be more and more proactive in telling you what she thinks you need.
I kind of like that, if I'm honest.
Yeah.
I always get home at night and there's something I think, oh, why did I not buy this? It'd be kind of nice if it was just sitting at the door waiting for me. So, no, I'm all for this. But, you know, let's talk a little bit about the software side, because they really did a couple of things that I thought were really important kind of early on in the announcement. They talked about privacy, which is a big deal for a lot of people. These devices are active microphones in our house, right? I mean, let's be honest about it. They are listening, obviously, for the wake word, and they will record what you say. And some people don't like the fact that it's recording all the time, which, again, I totally understand. But what's interesting is that they really did focus in on that, and they've added a couple of features, like, for example, being able to delete what you've said. So when you've spoken to Lady A, maybe you've said something and you think, maybe shouldn't have said that. Maybe you've got angry at her and you've sworn or something. You think, shouldn't have done that. You can delete what you've said so that it's not stored anywhere. Or maybe you wonder why she's woken up, and maybe it starts talking, and it does this all the time. Sometimes it'll just start speaking and you think, well, I didn't say anything that would have... I remember once I was talking about an election, you know, general election, and I was talking about it, and it just sparked into life. So it was then recording that part of that conversation. Again, you can just now delete that, or you can even ask, why are you coming to life? You know, I can't remember what the phrase was.
Tell me what you heard.
Tell me what you heard.
There's a couple of things. Tell me what you did. So if you ask her something and she gives you a completely wrong answer, you can say, tell me what you heard. In other words, you know, what did you think I just said to you? And she'll repeat what she thinks you said. Tell me what you did is if you're, you know, just minding your own business and she suddenly starts playing music or something weird, and tell me what you did, she'll say, I'm responding to a Bluetooth request or blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, they're both kind of aimed at trying to get you less frustrated. And actually, I don't know if this is US only to begin with, but she will actually detect emotion like frustration. So if she doesn't do what you want and you sound frustrated afterwards, she'll actually apologise for getting it wrong. That's a thing.
She's going to have a great time with Scottish people.
Oh dear.
She's always going to be in the back foot there. I think this is good. I mean, privacy, David, is that a concern for you?
Oh, look, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and
Your house is surveilled big time.
Yeah, I know. You've got them all.
I've got most of my speakers on mute, so they're actually, most of them are muted. I mean, that's what I like about the Amazon and the Google Home stuff, because I can actually hit that physical switch and actually mute them. So I've only got a couple of live speakers on at any one time. I mean, the only one that sort of stays on all the time is the HomePod stuff, but the rest of them, most of them are either on Do Not Disturb or I've got them on mute, most of them anyway.
Right, okay. And I want to pick up on the other thing, which I thought was rather interesting. They talked about what's called the neural text-to-speech engine. Now, this all sounds very sci-fi, but the reality is they're trying to make Lady A sound more human, or at least more emotive, and they are going to include a better voice as well. I mean, maybe it won't sound as good as Google's voice, because I think Google's is probably one of the best sounding at the moment. Siri's getting there, but they are going to try and maybe make it sound less robotic, I think.
They played two clips, one of what the original voice sounded like and the brand new one with the neural engine. I couldn't tell any difference.
Oh, really?
Yeah, man. I couldn't tell any difference at all. And there wasn't a big round of applause from the audience or anything.
Right. No one noticed. I mean, obviously these changes can be subtle, clearly very subtle in this case, but I don't know. I mean, I don't want to think of this device as human. It's not human, it's a robot. So I'm kind of, maybe I'm old school in this, but...
Until she actually understands what she's saying, she's not going to get the intonation right. You know, that's what humans can do. They can put a, you know, make the tone rise at the end of a sentence, which has got a question mark at the end, that sort of thing. But yeah, I mean, I think this neural engine is also enabling it to be more easily translated in or to create other languages. And so there are, was it 6 more languages supported? Spanish. I'm really surprised it's not in Spain already, because that's half the world that speaks Spanish. Hindi, which is the other half of the world. So yeah, that's really good news as well. And I know what you want to say. You want to talk about Samuel, don't you?
Oh, yeah, this is going to be brilliant. I don't quite understand how it's going to be implemented, but what they're going to do is you can have voices, you can buy voices. Now, I read it as you would be able to have celebrities, because they were talking mainly about celebrities being the voices. You could have various ones, and the main one is going to be Samuel L. Jackson.
I
don't know how it's going to work, though. Is it just selected phrases, or is it that essentially
it's the whole engine? And it's 99 cents per new celeb voice. They've only got him to begin with, but they have taken enough clips. I don't know if they've got him in the studio, but they said they've taken limited sound samples and created the whole engine from that. So, yeah, it's going to be a celeb version that you can have, you know, to your preference, but starting with him. Don't know who he is, don't do TV or films, but he's big apparently.
That is amazing. David, I mean, I don't know who is huge in Australia. Kylie Minogue.
No.
Superstar, is it not?
I'd like Patrick Stewart, actually, thank you.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Patrick Stewart.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah, get the sci-fi fans one right. Okay. Jeremy Clarkson would be good as well. Yeah. We could get him doing it. He did
sat-nav.
Get
him shouting at you in the morning already.
Yeah, but he did sat-nav, didn't he? So he could easily do that.
How about Tom Baker?
Tom Baker would be
definitely
good, yeah. Beyoncé singing at me.
I just hope, though, if they do those voices, you can still speed the voice up, because one of the things I hate about... very well pronounced voices, you really can't speed them up very well. They tend to degrade in their actually pronunciation sometimes. Yeah. So we'll see how it goes.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you know, of course, we didn't touch on this last week on the show, but I know that that feature is now available in the UK where you can now speed up the voice. Robin did a short demo actually of it, which we didn't get a chance to play last week. But essentially, all you do is, well, Robin, you tell us, it's just you speak faster or speak slower is the command, isn't it?
Yeah, or speak at your normal pace or something, speak at your normal rate, I think it is. But yeah, I mean, you can go really fast. I've gone back to the normal one in the end, unless you're listening to something really long, but it doesn't work with Kindle books, unfortunately. I'm conscious of time and I want to get in a really good final hardware one, which is Ring Fetch, which is the tags that we missed at the Apple event. It's using this ultra-wide 900 megahertz spectrum, which is free at the moment, and it's like a protocol that goes up to 500 meters, which is much better than Bluetooth, for example. And
where's my dog?
It's called Amazon Sidewalk is the protocol that they've created. It's yet another connected things protocol, which may or may not take off, but I'm really looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, so there's two things here. You've got the Amazon Sidewalk thing, which is essentially Amazon's version of the internet, I think.
Of the Internet of Things protocol, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be a way for those devices to communicate. And the main thing they're pushing here is the distance. I think this is going to make a big difference to the cameras outside your home or technology in your area rather than specifically in the house. So that's going to kind of give you extended wireless. Apparently, the connection goes as far as a mile. David, obviously, on your ranch in Australia, you'll be able to, have tags at the door.
Exactly.
Where the mail gets delivered to the guy at the check house.
The check house, yep.
That's right, yeah. But the other thing is the tag called Fetch, which is essentially being deemed as, you know, the ultimate tool if you want to know if your dog's run away, which is great because you'll know your dog has run away. You won't know where it's gone, but you'll know your dog's run away. You can geofence your yard, so you can say, well, this bit of the house is, you know, this is where the dog should be, and then if it crosses over the line, you will know that the dog is, well, it's off and having a life of its own somewhere. Yeah, these are good. I wouldn't class them as this in the same light as the tags. I don't think. I mean, you could use them that way, I suppose. But ultimately,
there was limited information about how you then locate. But I'm sure that it'll be something similar. Maybe everyone who's got the A-Lady app installed on their phone, which will be quite a few people. Yeah. So, and finally, Eero, who Amazon bought, they brought out some new Eero base stations, which is your mesh network.
Stuff, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, which I think is really good. And there's lots of A-Lady integration there where you can use your voice to turn on and off the guest network or allow people to get on or off it or to limit certain internet sites and that sort of thing. So yeah, Eero, really good. We've got them here. I think they're brilliant.
I've never heard of them until yesterday or until this
they
week.
Aren't available here in the UK, which is part of the problem. I have got it set up, but I had to actually get somebody in America to use their mobile phone to authenticate.
Well, it's interesting. They will be available here soon. They are now on pre-order, so you will be able to get them here in the UK now. But it's interesting. So look, we're nearly out of time. I just want to kind of look back on this event, looking at, say, the Apple events or the upcoming Microsoft and Google events. They just seem to just bring out all this stuff, Amazon, and they lay it all out there, and it is really about, I guess, the art of the possible. That's the impression I get out of these events. They're not saying we're going to make the best glasses or we're going to make the best earbuds, but we're showing you, companies out there, what can be done, what can be built. And that was essentially how the microwave came about. I mean, it was classed as a reference device. It wasn't really intended, I don't think, to be a device that they were going to develop and take on themselves. It was, look what you can do with this technology.
Because that was the other thing they also mentioned in that keynote too, was the actual smart oven. So I just think when they bring out, like you were saying, Steve, about the microwave and then now the smart oven, that you're right, they are really showing you what can be done. So I just wish those microwaves and ovens would be available in the rest of the world, because, you know, a $60 microwave just to do some basic things in it would be pretty cool via the A-Lady, I think.
Absolutely. So yeah, I mean, my general thoughts at the moment, after having had, you know, Apple and Amazon events in close succession, the problem with Apple is that they bring out relatively few devices and there's so much expectation, so much anticipation, there's almost inevitable letdown. And Amazon are, you know, complete opposite. There's just a wealth of products coming out all the time. And at the moment, sitting here today, I feel even more love for Amazon, if it's possible, than I do for Apple, for example. I just think they're absolutely brilliant, and a lot of the stuff might fall flat, but kudos for them for just throwing out so much stuff, just so many possibilities, and so affordable. I hope that at least half of these products are a great success, and, you know, they just build on it every single month, it seems, going forward.
I think what I really love about it is that they've made events like these exciting again. There are so many leaks from Apple and Google and other companies. You walk into an event knowing what you're going to get. And that I always loved Apple for that. You would get a bit of a surprise and the one more thing would shock you. Now you know in advance what most of that's going to be. I mean, you know, you're never 100% sure, but you've got an idea. Whereas this one, every single article I read, and I read a lot of articles before it, and there was nothing other than, well, they might do this. They might
a robot
do
which
that.
Didn't wheel itself
exactly
out.
They were all talking about the robot. I wanted the robot. I didn't get a robot. But maybe that's yet to come, and maybe that'll be next year's thing. I do worry in some ways they spread themselves so thin with the technology, rather than kind of focusing in on stuff and really making it great. They just kind of throw it out there, and if it's kind of half-hearted, then it kind of lives or it dies, and that's the end of it. I'd like to see them maybe invest in specifics. I mean, obviously they do with the echoes and the speakers, and we're seeing them take music more seriously and audio itself more seriously with the Echo Studio speaker. But I kind of like I'm kind of torn in some respects. I love the fact that they bring out so much stuff that it does make it very exciting, and it gives me a lot of ideas for Christmas presents for people, because you can think, oh, I'll get them one of those because they'll love that. And it's good and it is fun. And of course, they have the joy of having that logistical, you know, with all the Amazon delivery and everything they have built into their company, they can bring this stuff out. They can bring it out at a good price. And again, that's the other thing, isn't it? The prices as well. They are good, and you can, like David's doing, you know, he's adding things probably right now to his basket as we speak. You know, that's the great thing about it, isn't it?
It's affordability. I mean, I didn't touch any of the Apple stuff this year because it's just so pricey, and it's just that constant thing about having to upgrade all the time to get the latest and greatest, whereas when Amazon brings stuff out, I mean, yes, you know, it all costs money and everything else, but most of it is quite affordable. So you're not having to think, oh, I won't buy it this year because there'll be a new version next year. It's like, oh, this would really fit in something quite nicely into my lifestyle. I think I might get it right now while it's useful.
I'd say they're the biggest hardware company on the planet at the moment, just for sheer productivity and imagination.
Well, we shall be interested to hear what our listeners think on this. We're going to be getting lots of emails, I'm sure. What did you think of the Amazon event? Did you think it was good? Do you like the sound of some of the products we've been talking about? I mean, one thing I think we can all agree on, whether you want to buy them or not, these products will be accessible to us. And that is what I love. We can talk about this, and we're in a really good position in that regard. You imagine us trying to do a show like this 10 or 15 years ago. We'd be talking about Braille displays, and we'd be talking about, you know, things that cost £2,000-£3,000, or obviously in Australia, $8,000-$9,000. but you know, whatever. I mean, the point is that I know. But all that technology would be specialist. We wouldn't be able to have conversations about these events, and it is thanks to the hard work that is done by companies. Like Amazon, and we said, you know, you said it last time, Robin, about Apple. I think you said thank you to these companies for putting so much effort in to accessibility. You know, the Echo Show has a screen, but it's still accessible if you're blind, and that is brilliant. And they're even developing features for blind people. So you know, we're in a really good position with all of this stuff. And you know, I always want to take time out, just every show, at some point, somewhere, to just say thank you to these guys. You know, I don't care if you buy the stuff or not. We're not selling anything here. This isn't QVC, right? If you want to buy something, buy it. If you don't, you don't. We don't care. But the point is that we've got to stop. We're really good at complaining about things. We've got to stop sometimes and say, do you know what, guys? You've done a great job here. Well done. Of course it can be improved upon. Of course it can always be better. But the point is, at least you're trying. And that's all we can really ask for. And the fact is, it is working for us. So, yeah. Techtalk@rnib.org.uk is the email address. David and Robin, thank you so much for coming back on.
So, thanks, guys. Really, really loved the event. So excited to be enthusiastic about tech. And, yep, thanks, David. Thanks, Stephen. We'll see you next time.